to the Paranormal Classroom, where we take attendance for the unexplained. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay. And we're two teacher moms talking about stuff that freaks us out.
We're live.
Live in the car.
On Sunday afternoon.
I made Lindsay drive to a spot that had shade because it's too hot for me.
Yes, because I noticed that you can hear the AC in our recordings, and it's a sacrifice I've been willing to make because we desperately needed the airflow since we don't have one of those fancy schmancy studios, which also makes me laugh because I was listening to the Haunted Objects podcast with, no, what's it called? It's the Dana Newkirk and, what's her husband's name?
Greg Newkirk.
Greg and Dana Newkirk's podcast, Haunted Something. And I think it is Haunted Objects. Anyway, they were talking about how much work goes into their fancy schmancy studio to not have any weird sounds or anything. And I'm like, yeah.
We just don't bother.
Here we are.
Here we are in the car, two moms.
We're not spending $30,000 on a microphone. So, yeah. Yeah, here we are. Don't mean to allude that they have spent $30,000, but you could. There are $30,000 microphones that musicians use and stuff, but not us. Not us.
Well, thank you everybody for being here. We are hitting our 1 year anniversary, which is huge for us.
I feel like we should have a cupcake with two candles.
Wait, I should brought
two cupcakes with one shared candle.
All I brought Lindsay were these weird earrings.
They're super cute. Cats hanging on hangers.
Cats on coat hangers.
As one pair. And then another pair is they're UFOs or UAPs driven by little cartoon cows. And in the tractor beam are aliens. So it's a little role reversal.
Yeah.
I like it.
They're great.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's an art teacher, so she can get away with fun earrings. I love it when you wear fun earrings.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My little protest against normalcy.
So I've got a fun episode. It's my turn to do an episode tonight, and we're gonna go down in the conspiracy rabbit hole today.
Yeah, you're the one who skipped what's haunting you.
Oh, what's haunting you?
Well, you have to go first because I don't know.
Well, what's haunting me is actually going to be the topic of our whole episode, so I will save my what's haunting me.
Oh, that's
for the week,
exciting.
That's, yeah.
Oh, so it got into your
it got into
your
my
skin.
Yeah, a little earworm, brainworm.
Ew.
Yeah.
But also awesome.
All right, what's haunting you?
I don't really know, which is a good thing, I think. I feel like I'm missing something. I mean, I know I could be doing more for my campaigning, but I've had a... So that always is in the back of my mind, like, what else could I be doing? But I also have to keep a good work-life volunteer balance. So this weekend was about, like... Last weekend was devoted to moving my child to college. And this weekend was about, okay, catching up on a lot of things that haven't gotten done around the house. And because we're about to hit it hard. Election day is November 4th. So
it's exciting.
And I'm
it's
out of town
up.
Next weekend. Mike and I will be in Denver for Bananas Fest. The one thing that you couldn't do because it involved flying. So Mike is coming from Chicago. He has a meeting in Chicago. And so he's going to meet me in Denver. And spend the weekend.
Oh,
with
good.
Me.
You're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
Lindsay loves the Bananas podcast.
Yes.
Loves it. So she's going to Banana Fest.
Yes. If you haven't listened, Scotty Landis was a guest. He's a co-host of Bananas podcast and a Hollywood screenwriter, but also he was gracious enough to do an episode with us once.
Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was a fun one.
Super fun. Terrible sound, but great fun.
All right. You ready for my story
today?
I'm dying. Well, I'm going to start out by activating everybody's background knowledge,
like
which is
a good teacher
does. So, scandal, cover-ups, conspiracy. Whenever something shady happens, the media gives it a name, and nine times out of ten, it ends in gate.
Oh yeah,
I'm tripping over my words there, but you know how so it started with Watergate. Which was the name of the hotel where they were spying on the Democratic
group. Still exists.
Yeah. So Watergate was the big old issue with, a cover-up.
Nixon.
Yep. But there have been other ones. There's been
That was such a big deal then. Imagine. Ooh.
I know, right?
He stole some documents.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
There's so much now going on in the circus.
A gajillion times worse.
But there's Irangate.
Which seems like a really bad code name if it's supposed to be it's not a code name, it's like a media name. That's a terrible.
No, they're all, yeah, I guess they're all made up by the media, but they tend to end in gate is what I'm saying. So, like, Iran gate was the little conspiracy name.
Yeah, I've never thought about it. So, you're going to tell me why that is?
Well, I'm going to tell you about one of the gates.
Stargate?
No. Oh. It's called Gate.
Stop it.
Have you ever heard of Gate?
No.
So you know that my phone now, the algorithm, we've done 50 episodes. You are down
a serious rabbit hole.
Yeah, all I get are conspiracies. And there was one that hit last week on my phone, popped up on my phone. And I haven't been able to get it out of my mind because I think I might have possibly been involved in this conspiracy. Gate? Yeah.
Well, do we need to roll up the windows or
no,
is this
no.
like top secret?
Not. I don't think so.
After this episode, do you have to kill me?
No.
Okay. All right. Let it rip.
But yeah, so there's Iran gate, Gamer gate, Deflate gate, Party gate. These are all like conspiracies.
Most of those, but Party gate sounds like a good one.
Oh, and it has to do with like COVID parties during lockdown.
Oh, yeah. Those fools.
All right. So there's also a gate that you and I know about as teachers. And a lot of us were involved in this when we were kids. And this is GATE, G-A-T-E, that stands for Gifted and Talented Education.
Oh, yes. Yes, the gifted program stuff. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Were you in that program when you were a kid?
Nope, failed that test. Not bitter about it at all. And then my sister, younger sister, she got in, and it was called MAGIC back then.
Oh, yeah, they have different names for it.
And which is hilarious in the 80s that they were able to call it MAGIC. Now you'd never. Like, I think not getting in was just the push I needed to kind of prove. I wonder if there's studies on that. Like, when kids find out they're in it, do they kind of just go, eh, I can do whatever.
I don't know.
Or are there the kids who really want to get in and don't? Does it give them, because it motivated me to, like, really be good in school.
Okay.
So, I mean, as good as I could be, I was no, you know, whiz kid, but... So, obviously, I didn't get into the program.
Well, I got into the program in elementary school.
I'm not surprised.
And that's why this conspiracy is really, like, affecting me this week.
Well, I know at least I'm not guilty of Gate, because I wasn't in it.
So, Gate, Gifted and Talented Education, it also goes by Highly Capable Programs. Most school districts have something for their kids who are, like, up in the top 5th percentile or 2nd percentile.
It's part of special education.
It's part of, kind of under the umbrella. Yep. It depends on how much funding the district has. They don't usually put a lot of funding into this, but they'll typically have some kind of enrichment for kids who are just identified as really... It could be... I mean, it's hard to know what kind of kids get in, because...
It's one test.
That
they take in our district. All the districts I've worked in is just... Just one, or where we work, delete, is just one. And the one previous was just one. And the one that my kids went to was just one test.
Yeah.
It's called the COGAT.
There's the COGAT. I think they also look at, like, your percentile rank on, like, STAR, SBA. I think they take multiple pieces of evidence. But they're all academic evidence. So, like, it's hard to catch the kids who are really gifted, like, creatively or musically, or like, there's lots of different kinds of giftedness that I'm not sure we capture well for this gifted program. It tends to be kids who are just really good. They don't need as many repetitions to master a skill.
Yes.
And so you can cover more curriculum, I guess. You can go, like, you can take the normal curriculum and you can give it more breadth and more depth.
Yeah, it's like their sponge of their brain has a lot more holes.
Yeah.
And so they can absorb a lot more quickly. And I've noticed that's the big difference. But that doesn't, highly capable does not necessarily mean highly motivated. And highly motivated can also be highly capable. Because I hate the term highly capable. I guess I prefer, like, academically gifted better than I do, or even intellectually gifted than I do highly capable, because I think it's just a real slap in the face of everybody else to say they're not highly capable.
I know, and I think it's really hard to find a term that really does work, and I also think, like I said, they're not capturing all giftedness.
Right.
They're just not. Like, so the program's not really for kids who are gifted in other areas besides academics.
It's an effort. I think it's important to do something to give those kids enrichment and extension of their learning, because otherwise we're not meeting their needs, and then oftentimes they can get bored, and then we know that bored kids can get naughty, and we got to keep keep all students as engaged as we can, and it's pretty easy if you get the right teachers to engage those higher level thinkers.
So nowadays, if a child is in a GATE program or something similarly called, they usually are doing the same curriculum as their peers in general ed, but they're going in more deep and more depth and breadth. As I've said that before, but that's kind of where they do. So for example, if everyone in seventh grade is learning about Romeo and Juliet, the kids in the HICAP program might also be asked to read Hamlet and Twelfth Night and do some comparisons, or maybe they'll learn about the life of Shakespeare in the political scene of the time. So they can kind of go deeper than just Romeo and Juliet.
They can do a lot independently. Mm-hmm. Here's your binder of stuff. Here's this project. Here's this reading. Here's whatever. And they would do it. Mm-hmm. And you could just count on them to get it done.
Right.
And that's kind of a wild concept in a gen ed classroom. A lot more hand holding with the gen ed pop.
Well, yeah, but the highly capable kids do tend to draw kids who, being highly capable itself comes with a lot of challenges, and it can be, there's a lot of kids who are like twice exceptional, or like there's a lot of autism, there's a lot of ADHD, there's a lot of sensory issues, there's a lot of things going on with these kids who end up in these programs.
In one area, like your intellectual capacity is more mature, or what's the word I want to look for? More astute, oftentimes we'll notice that other areas like social emotional are weaker.
Yeah.
So they might be incredibly intelligent and able to, you know, read at a high school level in third grade and, you know, do all these crazy academic things, but can't make a friend to save their lives.
Exactly. Yeah. So our HICAP teachers, it's not like their day goes super smooth. Easy. No, they've got to deal really with a lot of social emotional support for the kiddos.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's how it is nowadays. But when I was going through the GATE program, and I'll date myself, but it was like 80s, 90s time.
Okay.
And it was very different than the way it is now. Very different.
You were negative 10 years old.
Yeah.
Because you're only 35.
Exactly. So when I heard about the conspiracy, I was have been like spending the entire week reflecting on my experience and trying to pull up memories of what it was like. Here's some of the things that I experienced. I would take a bus. They'd put me on a bus one day a week and take me out of my school, but not to another school. Like, I don't know where I went, but I know there weren't, like, kids in the hallways. The room I was in wasn't decorated like a classroom. It was very empty. It was, there was, like, one closet with our activities in it.
I think you were in Stranger Things.
I don't know. And, like, the tables were tall. I remember, like, playing games and, like, being up with my feet dangling. And, yeah, so that's, but this is, like...
Did you have to wear like hospital gowns and wires coming off of you?
I didn't know, but I also, all of the activities, we didn't do like normal curriculum with more breadth and depth like they do now. Mm-hmm. We did code breaking activities, logic puzzles. It was a blast. I absolutely loved it.
Right.
But thinking back, I'm like, well, my kids are in GATE right now, and they don't do any of these activities. Like, we would spend the entire day playing code breaking games and doing logic puzzles and play memory games like Simon and deduction games like Battleship, Mastermind. Do you remember these games?
Mm-hmm.
Battleship, Mastermind,
Perfection,
Stratego, Code 77, Axis and Allies, but not Perfection necessarily, but like the games where you have to guess.
Oh,
so
okay.
So there's an element of guessing and then recognizing the patterns based on how you're guessing to, like, identify where things are or... this was part of the program.
Yeah.
And I guess it's kind of weird. And so...
It's like, to what end? Like, what were they trying to... But back then, I don't remember teachers, and both my parents were teachers. I don't remember them talking about, like, standards and common assessments and things like that. So maybe they just thought, they recognize that there's logic and reasoning is really strong in these kids. So let's just have them do more of that and enjoy that, but not, I mean, what were they assessing? What were they trying to
teach? I don't know. I have no idea. I absolutely loved it, though. I loved it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I still play those kind of games now.
I love those.
I really enjoy them. But so this is where the conspiracy comes in. So I remember they would put these big plastic cream colored headphones on. What? Do you remember those big headphones?
Yes.
And we would listen to, like, I remember listening to whale sounds or like just sounds. And I have very little memory of this happening, but I do remember the headphones and I do remember having listening activities.
Okay. Okay. Like, but not listening comprehension.
No,
like,
not listening to somebody read just, or anything, just sounds.
They were experimenting on you. What
this is heck? Why they call it Gate.
Okay.
Because a lot of people are having weird memories about the Gate program in the 80s and the 90s.
Interesting.
Some people, so I just shared all of my memories. My memories are, they're weird, but they're not like extreme, but other people were exposed to like videos with subliminal messages. This is what they remember as kids, that they had to do dream journaling. Sometimes they were taught techniques for entering trance-like states using sound.
What?
And sometimes some of them remember being taken to like weird locations, like large portables on wheels with adults just observing them. And taking
this
notes.
This is like Stranger Things stuff.
I know.
Like, it's like the government recognized, ooh, let's capitalize on these kids and grow them up to be some sort of intellectual super soldiers, maybe, or some, you know, work in our high level computer industry that was, you know, rapidly developing then and things that. So,
you're right. You've absolutely nailed it.
Little human computers.
Yeah. Do you see why it's weird and why there's like a conspiracy around it?
I'd love to know what my sister remembers. I know she did. I remember she did a play. They did. And I was like, what in the world? They were in, God, she must have been like fourth grade. And they did a Shakespearean play. Oh, God. She played. Oh, I can't remember the play now. But it was one of the most famous ones. And it was so good.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I can't remember which one that was, though. But yeah, that's kind of how they spent their time, was analyzing Shakespeare and stuff. So I don't know if hers was similar to yours and these other people.
Ask her if she remembers some of this weird stuff.
I will. That is interesting.
Because we did a play, too. We did the Odyssey. I know we had to act out the Odyssey and learned about the Iliad and stuff. So yeah. There was some learning going on, but there was also a lot of these, like, just games and activities.
In a cage, or mice in a cage being studied somehow.
I don't know that and I'm not saying that I totally believe in this conspiracy. I'm just saying that it's got me thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It's curious.
Yeah.
Because as a teacher, I mean, as a, you know, not necessarily a conspiracy theorist, but as a person who's into the ooky spooky, I am like intrigued by, okay. And I absolutely know our government does stuff like that, like study children and it, to their own benefit, the government's own benefit. But also as a teacher, I'm like, make it make sense. Like today we have to rationalize every minute of our day to a standard of learning. Mm-hmm. And then we have to assess how our students are, their level of mastery on those standards, like 3 times a year, plus the state testing. And these teachers are playing memory games with you all. Like,
right. 1 day a week.
That's just wild to me.
Okay, so here's, it's going to get even weirder. So around the same time that I was in the Gate program,
okay,
is around the same time that the CIA is emerging their Gateway program. So if you haven't like read about the Gateway program, do a little digging, because that is where they were training people in the CIA to do some really funky stuff like remote viewing and out of body experiences and stuff. And they called this the Gateway program. So they were doing like psi research.
I wonder if that's why you're so into this stuff, is that it was ingrained in you from childhood.
That's possible.
That there's value in being able to do things like remote viewing and stuff like that. And you're still trying to.
That's possible.
Get that done.
But don't you think it's weird that like the Gateway program from the CIA also has the word gate in it?
I mean, it could be a total coincidence, because we all,
as
you alluded to in the hook, is like, we love a gate, right? We love to name everything gate. But it isn't a super far leap for my brain to assume that the government was trying to grow future adults who'd mm-hmm. be good in that program.
Right. And in that program, the adults were exploring consciousness. They were using sound and meditation to get into altered states. And like, it's like kind of similar to things that kids
sounds
were
like
remembering.
Whale songs to me.
Yeah. Super weird.
That is weird. And And then I think of, like, the parents. I mean, I guarantee you, your parents didn't know that you were put on a bus and taken to some nondescript building. Like, there was so much more trust in the education system.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sure. They probably had to sign some sort of permission form, mm-hmm. but it was probably more like a congratulations, your kid's awesome. Sign here to verify that. And then we're taking your kid one. You don't have no idea. They just knew you were in the gifted program.
Right.
And nowadays, I mean, no way. I'd be like, and what does that entail? And where are they going? And who's in charge? And what happens if there's an emergency?
Right.
And I'm not anywhere close to a helicopter parent, but I want to be informed.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? Who else is going? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But back then, nope.
Uh-uh.
I had to walk my own little kindergarten butt across the street to get paddled by the principal.
You got paddled?
Yeah. That was back in the days. That's like the wooden paddle with the holes in it.
I think you've told me that, but I think that's absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, and I remember my mom wasn't even really upset about the fact that I got in trouble and got paddled. She was upset with the school for making me walk across the street by myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here's my stance on spanking. It's not for the child. It's for the adult
to get their
aggression out. And it's not cool. Because there's no research that backs that it does what you wanted to do with the child.
I will say this. I was never naughty in school again.
Oh, okay. Well.
But I had the personality where you didn't need to spank me.
Right.
Like, it worked because that was awful. Like, it didn't hurt. It was just mortifying.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like, no, I never want to be naughty again. But I think it can backfire. It can teach, you know, those who are already prone to hitting or being hit at home are going to hit more when they're angry, when they're upset. And yeah, I 100% agree. It's not the job of the schools to do any of that. Like in parochial schools with stories of nuns wrapping their knuckles with rulers and stuff.
My
like,
mom had it, went to one of those schools.
Terrible.
Yeah.
That's physical abuse for sure.
Well, she was left-handed, which was not okay. They would
They
would actually like beat her hand during writing lessons. So wild
so
to me.
So messed up.
Really, it wasn't that long ago either. Like so much has changed.
I have, speaking of left-handedness, now we're really on a tangent, but I'll bring it back. Was it my first grade class on Friday? I want to say, I just was looking around as they were writing, and it was an inordinate number of them were left-handed. Like,
I'm
talking a third of the class.
That's not usual.
And it's one in every 10 to 11 people are left-handed. And this was in one first grade class, like 10 kids. No, that'd be half. Like 8 kids.
Wow. That's
it was
wild.
Weird. It was weird. And I remember one little dude was like, I can do but either one. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on in this classroom? Got Captain Ambidextrous over here.
Yeah.
It was weird. I was like, okay, guys, seriously, which hand do we write with? And they all were like, I go, okay, grab this. And then they all would grab it with their left hand. Okay. Well, you passed the left-handed test. It was very strange. So anyway, go back to your
gateway project. Okay. So there's skill overlap between the two. So there's the gateway project that the adults are doing at the CIA. And then there's the gate program that the kids are doing. And there was an overlap of skills, right? Everyone was working on logic, mm-hmm. pattern recognition, memory, and maybe even like expanded consciousness mm-hmm. stuff. So some people think that GATE for kids doubled as a covert recruitment for mm-hmm. training for the intelligence agencies.
Sure sounds like it.
That's just wild, isn't it?
Why not? I think there's, you know, wouldn't be the first time that a government has farmed its people to do things.
I hope we don't get in trouble for this episode. I hope nobody from the government is like, you've said too much. But we're just,
you know, all those government officials that listen to our podcast. Well, if that's what does us in, then I guess we had it coming. I'm curious to know, because I know a lot of the friends that I have that listen were most definitely in gifted and talented programs.
It's going to get them thinking. This is
and I'm wondering, yeah,
what
do they remember
through?
And mm-hmm. what were their programs like? And you got to message me so that we can kind of curate a list of experiences to see if any of these line up across the country.
Right. But especially here in Washington, it'd be cool to see if people had an experience like I had.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, now you know why it's been haunting me this week, because I'm like, well, wait, I was in this program.
Yeah. They didn't want me because I talked too much. That's what happened. I probably did pass their test. And they were like, nope, not that one. That one talks too much. I'm going to give away all the secrets. And you're the trustworthy one who's like a steel trap.
Yeah, I'm a steel trap. That's right.
And I wear everything right on my sleeve. And they saw that you were trustworthy.
What if they trained me to be that way? What if that's not like something
innate?
What if part of the gate program taught me to be this? I don't know. But people come to me and tell me secrets frequently. It's a very weird thing with like my energy or whatever it is. People I've just met. Hey, I've never told anybody this before, but I feel like I can tell. It happens to me all the time.
Mine tell me their family problems. And I'm like, I'm a teacher now, not a therapist.
Yeah.
I don't want to know. Strangers in the grocery line. I don't want to know.
No.
Family drama.
That's an energy. People must like be reading this like family counselor energy off of you.
I gotta stop that. How do I pull the plug on that? Whoa, well.
My story gets weirder, though.
Oh,
it actually gets, there's a little bit more.
Yes. Okay, what? Should we roll up the windows? I keep thinking we need to roll up the windows.
No, this is
in the squirrel.
I had another memory that came to me that I'm like, okay, could this be related? So this is a memory from when I was 17.
Okay.
17 years old, and we get a knock on our door.
Okay.
And we go open it because, like, at that time in the 90s, it's not like now.
Had to open the door. You just open the door.
Yeah.
Someone knocks, you open the door.
I do not open the door now. If I don't know you're coming, I just let people stand on the porch.
Sure.
But it was a man in uniform, like a military.
Like a man in black?
No,
army uniform. Fatigues,
yeah, but not fatigue. It wasn't fatigues. It was like a nicer blue suit with the the cute little pillbox hat thing that the men wear. You know what I mean?
So Air Force.
Pointy pillbox. Kind of like that. Kind of like,
That's the Air Force uniform, I think.
He was a recruiter.
Yeah.
He was a recruiter.
Yeah.
And he's there on my doorstep and he's like, could I please speak with Amanda and her family? And we're like, come on in. Because this is what you do. And then he's like, come on in.
I have the same story. That's funny. Okay. I'll tell you mine after.
Yeah. I want to hear if you had this because I've always wondered how the heck this guy found me.
Yep.
So he sits down. He's sitting at our dining room table. I think my mom offered to get snacks, which was probably like saltines and pepperoni.
That's awesome.
And we have a guest.
Throw some cheese on that, and I'm in.
So we're sitting around the table, but my mom was not like a part of it. She left it to me and my dad. And this guy is like,
your mom probably couldn't keep a straight face.
Probably not.
Your mom was like, this is ridiculous.
I meant to ask my dad before we recorded, like, what he remembers from this incident, because I remember he was pretty quiet and like was just listening. But this recruiter was full on like, have you ever thought about being in the service in the military? And I go, no.
I can't believe you had this experience. I had the exact same experience.
I'm like, no. Well, I'm glad to know you had it because I thought I was the only one. So, which made it even weirder, right? Like, how did they find me? Really. So I'm like, no, I've never thought about it. And I've never filled out like a survey or indicated
interest.
No, there
wasn't anything like that.
No. And for me, like, I don't have family in the service. I don't have,
I didn't
have a lot of exposure to it. So it hadn't even crossed my mind. I was going to college, right?
Right.
It hadn't even crossed my mind. But here's this guy sitting here telling me, like, you're the kind of person we want. We really want you. And at the time, in my head, I'm like, the only thing I could think of is like Army, because I don't have a lot of reference background knowledge.
Yeah.
So I remember saying to the guy, look, I don't want to be like.
That involves running.
Yeah. I don't want to be trained to be a soldier and like the physical stuff and carrying a gun and learning to use a weapon. I'm like, that is not for me. And the guy's like, that's not what I'm talking about, Amanda. You would do that for 2 weeks and then you would be put into a program more aligned with your skills. It would be like intelligence. And I'm like, whoa. Like, I remember being like, looking at my dad, like, what is happening right now? What is happening? And I don't know how this guy found me.
I don't know how they found people.
Because they can't give out
SAT
scores or anything.
No, nothing was on the computer. So how did they know? Because I had the same thing happen. They showed up. It was two men showed up to my house. And I remember sitting around the dining room table. And I'm sure both my parents were there. I don't remember. And they were like, well, we know that, you know, you speak two languages and, you know, we think you'd be really good in the military. And it was a similar kind of thing at the intelligence level. And I just was like, I have a real hard time seeing myself as a, and they're like, soldier. And I'm like, Yeah, that.
You have the same conversation.
And yeah. Okay. Yeah. And they're like, well, just so you know, what this would mean is we would send you to the Language Institute of some, and because where you would learn Russian and, you know, Farsi and Chinese and da-da-da-da. And I'm like, I speak Spanish. And they're like, well, yeah, but since you know two languages, we know that you have the capacity to learn more languages more easily than the average bear, kind of deal. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to pass. But thanks so much. Hasta luego.
I actually feel a lot better that this happened to you, too, because this, since this week's been going on and I've been, like, stuck in conspiracy land, I was like, well, what if they came to me because they knew I was in the GATE program when I was young, and they had a list of all those kids, and when they're 17, they come and try to recruit them.
Do you hear that frog?
I do.
We have a squirrel on our left and a frog on our right. Which sounds a little like the beginning of a song you would sing to kindergartners.
Anyway, now knowing that they came to you, now I'm like, okay, I'm not, it wasn't.
I wonder how many kids they went to. Like, did they just have a list of addresses? I mean, of seniors?
Knew about me. He knew something.
Right.
He knew more about me than
were they able to give. Was this before FERPA? Were they able to go in and just get a list of kids?
They could get, I looked this up. They could get from the school the name, and like they could get names and addresses and like that kind of information, but they couldn't get any test scores. So how would they know that you were great at languages and that I had done something to get me prepared for intelligence stuff?
How would they know? I mean, nowadays, easy. I mean, of course, like our kids have something called College Board.
Yeah.
Everything goes online, every interest, every sport,
it's still
every
private,
activity,
though.
Every... But if you sign up saying you're interested in all the, you know, these things, then college recruiters and scholarships and things like that will start making their way to your inbox.
Right.
But that did not exist. Like, nothing like that existed when you and I were in high school. The internet was just getting going when I was a senior in high school. I remember America Online, AOL, dial-up. But
we're so old.
That is baffling.
Well, that's my GateGate story. So,
did you get on Reddit? Did you find a bunch of other people that have this sort of shared experience?
Lots of people, same age as us,
all across the country.
From same age as us,
the '80s,
and '90s, and just weird memories of the GATE program when they were kids. Weird memories that make you think, oh, maybe I was in some kind of training program.
Bonkers.
I mean, I guess it's unlikely, but who knows?
So knowing you, and you said this has been a little brainworm. Are you sleeping okay? Like, thinking about all this? Okay, good.
I mean, because I didn't go down that path, right? I didn't.
Right. You weren't, and you don't remember being like, actually experimented on.
No, I don't remember anything weird or nefarious.
You know, drugged and taken over state lines.
Yeah. You know, I think the only thing that's weird for me is why were we playing those games that clearly were not in line with any kind of curriculum? I wasn't being assessed on them. We were just playing.
It was just enrichment of some kind of like, let's let them just exercise this part of their minds because they don't get that experience in a standard classroom where you sit in rows and you do worksheets and you do timed tests and read alouds. I mean, it was a very different time.
But some people on Reddit and around, they do have some weird stories. Some that are like, whoa, maybe they were being experimented on or observed.
I mean, fiction is always based on fact, right? Or in some cases, fiction imitates, or history imitates fiction, right? So it just sort of depends. But I mean, when I literally think of like the Stranger Things and Eleven and all that stuff where they were seen, they had special gifts, they were taken under government custody, studied, given these different challenges and things, and then kind of programmed for service in some way to the organization or the government or whatever. And people come up with those ideas because they're based on
Or conspiracies.
Sure.
But conspiracies are also based, you know, loosely on fact, or at least on a question.
Yeah.
With mild evidence.
If we can imagine it, my sort of, now this is a real general sweeping statement, but I feel like if we as humans can imagine it, it either has happened or it will.
That's wild. That's wild.
In any human, like if any human can imagine it. Can I do another tangent?
Yeah.
So there's actually on the Bananas podcast a couple episodes ago. There's a scientist who figured out, or team of scientists, ophthalmology people, who figured out.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I heard you say team of scientists.
They're real cheap and they fall apart easily. And those poor children. This is a team of scientists, ophthalmology scientists in particular. There was a woman who now can see out of her tooth.
No.
Yes. They took a tooth. She's blind in one eye, like 10 years ago, lost her sight. They took a tooth from her mouth, embedded it in her cheek for a while so that all the tissue would grow around it, harvested it out, implanted it into her eye socket.
No.
Attached it to all of the bells and whistles and wires that go to your brain.
The optic nerve?
All the things. And now she is developing her sight back through her mother effing tooth.
I need to see the
reason why I bring it up is I think, you know, talking about if somebody can imagine it, it's either has happened or will. Like, that is not something... That's at the high end of human intelligence, right? So if that tells me the average human intelligence is really freaking dumb. Because if that, I can't even imagine that.
That's a fever dream. Like, hey, I dreamt that somebody took a tooth and put it in my eye socket. And I can
see out of it now. Like, what? What? And, but yet, somebody came up with the idea, pursued it, made it happen. That's at one end of our human capabilities. And then we've got the other end, as we know all too well. So then the average is like, I'm going to just go on a limb and say dumber than you and I. Probably by quite a bit. If that sounds arrogant. But I think you and I are pretty intelligent people.
I know my IQ, but I did work with a psychologist once, and I feel bad saying this.
Are you Mensa? Are you Mensa level smart?
Like the lowest...
Wow.
But
look at me sitting with you in this car. You should probably be driving. What would that be? Like 90, 100? I don't even know what the average IQ level would be.
Well, if you have an IQ lower than 80, they won't even take you in the military.
That's right.
They don't trust that you would be able to like handle a gun and follow directions. Yeah. So you have to have at least an IQ of 80, 85 to be in that kind of service position. And then it goes all the way up to like, the highest has got to be like 160 is like crazy, insanely intelligent.
Yeah.
So somewhere in there, maybe 90 is average.
Yeah, 90 to 100.
90 to 100, yeah.
Yeah, it's got my wheels spinning too for a lot of different things. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Will you send me the story on the tooth eye thing?
Yeah, crazy.
I can't wrap my brain around it because teeth are made out of. I don't even know what teeth are made out of. Calcium or... I don't know. There's no cones and rods and all the things that you would need to... No,
and that's what... I mean, I'm going to put tooth eye. Tooth... It's literally called tooth in eye surgery. Osteoodontokeratoprosthesis. A rare two-stage surgical procedure to restore vision in cases of severe corneal blindness. The process involves removing a patient's tooth, implanting a plastic lens into it. I forgot that part.
Okay.
And growing the tooth in the patient's cheek to develop a blood supply. Finally, the tooth and lens implant is moved to the front of the eye, replacing the damaged cornea and allowing the patient to see through the new structure.
Oh my gosh. Incredible. I just hope we always have crazy smart people and scientists. And we should be making all of our policies and our decisions based on the, you know, peer-reviewed good science, good research. And I don't feel like we do that.
No. In fact, the government is intentionally trying to do the opposite, getting rid of all scientists and replacing them with just people willing to bend the knee.
Well, we're not going to be competitive with other countries. No. We're all going to have to learn Chinese in a couple of decades.
Well, that gets into a whole other ball of wax.
Well, they're really pushing their scientists. And
well, and they also want world domination because mm-hmm. they don't have the birth rates. And they need mm-hmm. more people to keep going. They're a superpower. And they're friends with Russia. So that's a little scary. Mm. And my husband and I talk about it all the time. Yeah, I think all of our smartest and brightest are going to move elsewhere. They're going to go work for governments right. that will have them. And yeah, we're just going to be the garbage disposal country of freaking Wally. We're that. Lots of money and nothing else.
Yeah. We put a lot of our money into might.
Right.
Strength and might and military. And
your might is only as good as your brains. You can't just have, they call it the brains of the operation for a reason. Mm-hmm. You never hear the brawn of the operation, right? That's a given. Right. Plenty of folks are signing up for the brawn part. It's the brains we need to recruit harder.
Well, I totally believe that. I think that education should be free and accessible all the way up through Absolutely. A doctorate. And I think that we need a lot more people like studying. You don't have to go to college, but I just think that if you want to do that,
you should have the option.
You should have the option because it only serves our country to have mm-hmm. more people who can. I mean, we're like short on doctors,
right?
We just need more.
And let's say you want to go into a trade. Okay, well, of course you don't want to pay for a 4-year institution first. Mm-hmm. But what if you didn't have to pay for the 4-year right. institution? You could just go to become a really well-rounded person. Like, learn about the world, learn about human interconnection and philosophy and all kinds of mm-hmm. amazing things that can only help you as a human
super enriching.
Be more interesting and make life more interesting. And then go do your trade, which could also be paid for. And you'd be way better at it.
Yeah, because you'd have whatever yeah. other skills
and
you want
to
pursue.
And way more confident in everything else you wanted mm-hmm. to do. It just is, it's mind-boggling to me that we aren't.
Well, we went off on a tangent.
Lots of them this time.
It wasn't a very funny episode. I don't feel like we, like, laughed a lot
that's
or
okay.
told jokes, but
that's,
it was...
That's okay.
Maybe if you, like, it's real cerebral and like to think about this stuff, this is the episode for you.
Well, this could be a cool one to collect listener data on, too.
Oh, yes.
And then we could do a listener mail kind of deal. Mm-hmm. So send us an email at the paranormal... Literally, the email address is theparanormalclassroom@gmail.com or hit us up on Instagram, Facebook... If you know Amanda or I personally, you can message us, text us, whatever. We'd love to know what your gate stories are, if you have any. And let us know what your theories are. Or if you also had one of these weird military visits. Maybe it's not fair to say weird, but mysterious mm-hmm. military visits. Like, how did they find you? Mm-hmm. What was your special skill? I just remember thinking... Did you miss the part where I said I speak Spanish? If we know that, you know, you'd be a great Russian operative. Not with Spanish. So you got any homework or anything other than those things?
That's the homework is okay. Just let us know if you've had an experience like this. Otherwise.
I think I know why I wasn't accepted.
Why?
I'm mentally tired just talking about the GATE program. What did we do to kids? Like, did we do something to these kids? What did they do to you? What did this give you a complex of like people pleasing?
Because I have a serious problem yeah. with that. So I could have gotten
that
from GATE.
They knew
that
wasn't going to come from me.
Mm-hmm.
But they saw you and they're like, that one is in drill team and is prom queen and homecoming queen and wicked smart and loves games.
I do love games.
That's our girl. Go get her.
There's a few paths that I didn't go down in life that I... would be interested
like
in.
Bizarro Amanda, like what would
in Bizarro
like?
Amanda, so one of them for sure, like some kind of intelligence route where you're like
sure.
doing code breaking or whatever. I don't know that like spy work is for me, but something like behind a desk where you're
yeah
figuring things out.
Yeah,
and then
you've been good at it.
Yeah, I think I would have liked that. And I think
sheesh. Well, thank you, that was fun.
Welcome
Do you want to close it out?
Class dismissed.
And don't open the door.